Ne mai ce da?
Order, please. Adudina Parliament.
According to the order of today, the time for the sittings will be decided by this House. Time required until the proceedings can finish. At 11:30 a.m. today in my chambers, party leaders meeting was held, and as agreed at that time, on 18th of December 2018, at 1 p.m., Parliament will sit again. Honorable Lakshman Kirella, Mr. Speaker, I wish to bring to your notice on 12th December 2018, Divina. Mandala Gunawardana has stated that the Alliance will not attend Parliament as it's an unofficial sitting of Parliament, that PFA will not participate in the Parliament sittings. It is not an official sitting of Parliament which is present according to the Honourable Member. You cannot call sitting that take place somewhere, Parliament, sitting of Parliament. They are trying to dilute your actions. And in Divina paper, it has been mentioned that petition we filed at the Supreme Court against the speaker, contempt of court. Your decision has been endorsed by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has recognized your measures. So regarding your action, not only as in the members of parliament, the judiciary and the citizens of Sri Lanka, we pay tribute to you for your actions. Honorable Bandara Naik gave a certain ruling and according to that the proceedings of parliament cannot be challenged at any place because a case has been filed against you for convening parliament. I must tell the media person as well. You should publish these headlines with the proper understanding about parliamentary procedure. And according to Section 3 of Parliamentary Privileges Act, the decisions of the Speaker, even the decision to convene Parliament, cannot be questioned at any court. And Honorable Bandaru Gurovardhana has said that they would not participate in the debate even on today. They avoid the participation because their position will be revealed to the country. On the first 2 or 3 days, they came and they were only, the maximum number with them was 85. So, because the country will know about their real strength, they will avoid participating. And they are trying to ridicule you and certain media institutions and the so-called government are engaged in that attempt. I wish to bring that to your notice. Thank you very much. Item number 1, notice, vote of confidence to be moved. Honorable Sajit Premadasa. Vote of confidence. At this house, resolves that Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe, Member of Parliament, commands the confidence of Parliament to function as the Prime Minister. Mr. Speaker, moving that motion. I wish to make a comprehensive submission in that regard, Mr. Speaker. In the history of democracy in our motherland, the darkest era prevails at present, and it is such a time that we are attending this crucial meeting, you as the Speaker, and all of us are gathered here for such a meeting. From the 26th of October this year, repeatedly, the supreme law of the country, the constitution of the country has been violated in a serious manner with the conspiracy in mind, and it has undermined people's sovereignty, and the country has become defunct by now. The country has become a stagnant place. How have we stooped to this level as a country? On the 26th of October, the legal government in office and the legal prime minister and the cabinet were illegally and in arbitrary manner, they were sacked and an illegal prime minister and a cabinet were appointed to form a so-called unofficial anti-constitutional government was set up. To say that in brief, over 113 members supported the former prime minister, and he was sacked. And a person who led not 113 but even 85 or 90 members' confidence was made the prime minister. And this serious disaster was created in the country. Mr. Speaker, if a prime minister was to be removed, there are four main conditions for that. One, the prime minister should resign, or that individual should lose his seat in parliament, or a no-confidence motion has to be passed against that prime minister, or the budget has to be defeated on two occasions. Only on four such occasions that a prime minister of a country can be removed in line with the constitution. But you and all of us know, in an arbitrary manner, forgetting the country and the people of the country, in an egocentric manner, with only self-advancement in mind, this decision was forced on the country, and as a result, the entire country is facing a grave situation. Mr. Speaker, in an illegal manner, violating the constitution, the former government and the former prime minister removed, and a new an official prime minister and cabinet and government was set up. Not only that, the parliament was also dissolved because they lacked the confidence of 113 members to gain that. But what happened? Various privileges and benefits and bribes, lozenges were offered. Progressive members who value democracy were offered such things. But I wish to state with pleasure that these members of parliament did not betray their souls. Now, Mr. Speaker, cabinet and the government headed by an illegal prime minister appointed. What did we do in the opposition? On several occasions when the parliament sat, we showed that it was not the illegal government that commanded the confidence of majority, but it was our party that held the majority confidence, which was removed by force. It was proved with two no-confidence motions passed here regarding the composition of the committee at what taken. We showed our strength. That office headed by the illegal prime minister, we took a vote to cut the expenses for that, funds for that, and we showed that we had 123 members with us. Earlier, they rejected the what saying that it could not be accepted based on voice, but it has to be proved using the electronic system. We showed in all possible manners. We voted in all possible manners using the electronic system, voting by hand and voting by voice. That motion to cut down the funds for illegal cabinet, what was the outcome? We had 122 supporting our motion. Now, Mr. Speaker, the constitution was violated in a voluntary manner, and knowing that it was wrong, these people used two methods. To make us lose our majority through a conspiracy. What was the first method? They saw very well our majority and they could hear it when we voted. 220 lakhs of people in this country, from the preschool child to the elderly people, knew that we commanded the majority confidence. As a result of this, our opponents are shocked and they fainted. And they remembered their history when they governed the country. Government terror unleashed by the government, government terrorism and intimidation, using all that within this house, they attacked the members of parliament. They used chili powder to attack the members. The war heroes of the country, appreciated by the entire community, the security officers, they were tortured. A certain member of parliament, you can see on the video recordings, without any fear, he slapped the heroes. And they were assaulted. Mr. Speaker, they attacked in this manner. And they gathered in a common room, the ground floor of this house as a parliament, and they tried to show the world that they were correct and they were pure. They were acting like Brahmins. They tried to tell the world through media briefings, but we all know their conduct in this house was very lowly. They say that they respect Buddhism, that they were guardians of Buddhism, but they forgot a preaching of Lord Buddha. It is not by birth that a person becomes a Brahmin or a lowly person, but it is by his actions that a person is known as a Brahmin or a lowly person. That preaching of Lord Buddha, whether a person is a Brahmin or a lowly person, is determined not by birth but by his actions. That is the preaching of Lord Buddha. So, with the conduct of the members of parliament in this house, the entire country came to know who the Brahmins were and who the lowly people were. On several occasions, we have proved our majority. We have shown that we command the confidence of over 113 members. As per Article 48(2) of the Constitution, at least to save face. Because with unlimited greed for power, certain actions have been taken, at least if they can save some respect, they could respect Article 48(2) and resign from their posts. And in the name of gentleman politics, they should have admitted that they lacked a majority, and they should have asked us to take over the government, but they failed to do so. Why was that, Mr. Speaker? What is right and what is wrong? They failed to understand. In Dhammapada, the Lord Buddha has preached a certain stanza. The so-called great patriots happen to forget that, as they lack majority, they are boycotting sittings. I hope they are listening to my speech from some corner. I would like to remind them the preaching of Lord Buddha. The Honorable Member is reciting a Pali stanza. A Pali stanza is being recited. Knowing that what is before one's eyes is good, one would say that it is not so. What is near at hand, knowing that it is not of any value, a person would deny that fact. They fail to understand what is right or wrong, what is good or what is bad. Therefore, they have totally rejected principles in politics. In a wrongful manner, the Prime Minister and the government removed, and in legal manner, an individual and a group were appointed. When they lacked 113, and they wanted time to form that majority, and when all attempts have failed, the constitution was violated and Parliament was dissolved. This decision was taken not after reading the articles in the constitution. I would like to know what legal expert or what group of lawyers advised the president to dissolve Parliament. Articles 33, 2, 3, 62, 72, all those articles have been disregarded when that wrongful decision was taken by today regarding the dissolution of Parliament. An order has been issued by the Supreme Court. The entire country or the whole world is waiting for the ruling to come from the Supreme Court. As a person engaged in ethical politics and as a member of a group that engages in ethical politics, I would not dwell into those matters which are sub judice. What is a constitution, Mr. Speaker? That is the supreme law of a country. To protect and safeguard that supreme law, we, as all citizens of this country, have a bounden duty. It is a duty of a citizen. It is the people's obligation, and it is the duty of all of us. Regarding the importance of the constitution, a former president of USA, President Abraham Lincoln, has said like this: Congress and the judiciary, the people are the real masters of the Congress and judiciary. It happens because to violate, not to violate or distort the Constitution, but to subjugate those who are trying to violate the Constitution. Further, President Lincoln said, within the Constitution, no matter contained, any matter contained in the Constitution should not be distorted. It should prevail as it is, because it is the only safeguard for our freedom.
The events of the past 6 weeks have resulted in creating a constitutional crisis of immense and monumental proportions. The abominable and despicable acts of the chief executive have brought about an anarchical situation in our motherland. It has promoted chaos, uncertainty, helplessness in our society as a whole. In such a milieu, it should be the responsibility of all right-minded citizens to champion the cause of constitutionality, democracy, justice, and fairness. We on this side of the political aisle shall, to use former President John F. Kennedy's words, I quote, pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival of liberty, constitutionalism, and democracy. Honorable Speaker, sir, it is most appropriate at this particular juncture for all of us to remind ourselves of two famous statements made by President Abraham Lincoln with regard to the importance of protecting the Constitution. He said, I quote, we the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. He also stated, don't interfere with anything in the Constitution. That must be maintained, for it is the only safeguard of our liberties. Garu Kathanayakathumani.
Mr. Speaker, according to the relevant articles of the Constitution of this country, in line with the Constitution of this country, this Supreme Assembly, in this Supreme Assembly, it is Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe who commands the confidence of the majority of members. That is the truth. It is the reality. We cannot refute this. Before truth, you should respect the truth. And before the Constitution, respecting the provisions contained in the Constitution, following the legal procedure, they have to be genuinely followed, and we should ensure that. Mr. Speaker,
when there is no any legitimate government in existence, everybody knows that the country is in the doldrums. The people, the innocent people, are very much helpless. No development at all. The precious foreign funding has been stalled, and today for the general public, no lands are provided and no constructions in operation. The agricultural activities, irrigation activities are standstill. Fishermen are helpless, and the public servants are very much miserable. The middle class hopeless, and even for the railway assistance has been taken back by the funding agencies. From the Millennium Challenge account, the USA, which has pledged millions and billions of dollars, have been terminated. Today, the magnitude of the helplessness of the people is that even the chronic cancer patients are not provided with cure, the medicine. No Gampirli at work. The Enterprise Sri Lanka program has been terminated. The Gram Rajya level of decision making system, the mega development projects are completely stopped. Honorable Speaker, my father, for 43 lakhs of school children, provided free school uniform during the period where the country was burning. Today there's no any such a calamity, but a fire has been erupted for more than 44 lakhs of school children. Due to this quasi government appointed in an undue manner, this so-called government has been failed to provide for the free school uniform for this innocent school children. So in this context, Honorable Speaker, I would like to urge and humbly request the Honorable President, please do not wait any further. Since 26th of October, the decisions that you have taken, the unconstitutional, illegalness of your decisions have been endorsed by the citizens of this country. Therefore, it is high time now to protect the nation, protect the motherland from this misery. Please appoint back Honorable Rani Vikramasinghe, who demands and who commands the majority support of this august parliament. Honorable Speaker, I would like to come up with an important information which is very much valuable for the whole polity, including yourself, sir. Honorable Speaker, by now, with your strength, the petitions filed on the legitimate right on human rights, and with the consultation of the Supreme Court, the people have taken steps to safeguard the democratic principles of the country. Honorable Speaker, according to our Constitution, according to the third chapter of the Constitution, we know it contains the civil and political rights of the citizens of the country. Those are inalienable human rights of the citizens of this country. However, on the contrary, Honorable Speaker, when in-depth study of these provisions of the Constitution, there is a lacuna to my mind. I feel that we should fill that vacuum with the blessings of the all walks of people for the benefit of the citizens of this country. We must amend them. I would like to draw your attention on the sixth chapter, Honorable Sir. It contains the duties of the government. In other words, the duties of the government for the people. The third chapter contains the political and civil rights of the citizens of the country. The sixth chapter contains the economic and political rights of the people. Yet, the serious lacuna in our constitution is that for socio-political rights, right to life, right to welfare measures, I refer and I would like to say, although the foregoing contents of this chapter is the right of the government, that cannot be challenged before a court. Honorable Speaker, we are living in a very archaic society, in my opinion. After the Second World War, we know they assembled under the banner of UN. They passed a covenant on civil and political rights of the people, and the victorious countries, the powerful countries, they define the human dignity, human rights, the way they like. But, Honorable Speaker, during 1950s and 60s, those countries who talk high of the human rights, those so-called superpowers, and when their colonies demanding for the freedom, they assembled and they got together under the banner of non-allied movement, and the 77 group of 77. Those countries said that human rights doesn't mean the fundamental rights. We should also have the right to live, to have a nourished food, a meal, hygiene, health facilities. That human right should also be fulfilled by the government. Under this economic and social rights covenant was included in the UN Charter in late 1960s. Now UN Charter is well nourished now, but in our constitution there is a big lacuna. The right to people to challenge before the courts that their right to life is being disturbed by the government is not there. Sometimes the lawyers might criticize me that this is not a realistic issue and we won't have any time to do anything and we have to appear for basic right or fundamental right violation cases. I don't agree with that. Honorable Speaker, the upcoming government should be abided by to protect the human rights and fundamental rights, not to protect the human rights of a group of elite that they belong to, but not to protect the rights of a selected few. The right should be preserved for the citizens to challenge that the government has not fulfilled the socio-political and civil rights of the people and right to life and right to economic freedom. That should be preserved so that the citizens could at any point, if a government doesn't fulfill so, would challenge that before the court. Whatever the government may be in power, if there's any policy deficiencies in socio-economic sphere, that violation of the personal fundamental right should be given to the people. So that would be a threat to the government, and government would think twice that they would be prosecuted if they do not fulfill that right of the citizens.
It is my fervent and sincere belief that during this shameful escapade, you have acted in the most noble and bravest manner in protecting the Constitution, rights of parliamentarians, and the rights of democratic masses in the country as a whole. You, Honourable Sir, have acted as a bulwark against autocracy, authoritarianism, and dictatorship. I would like to salute you with a quotation from late Martin Luther King. He stated, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Honorable Speaker, sir, I myself and all of us salute you.
Honorable Speaker, since 26th of October, all the things happened in violation of the Constitution in this draconian way of rule in protecting the democratic principles and to protect and safeguard the rights of the people, you acted as a mighty dam against such powerful tides. So it's a very sincere and excellent deed. When the history is written, on the current period, your name, your deeds would be definitely written in golden letters. Therefore, Honorable Sir, I would like to quote Martin Luther King. As I said, the final measurement of a man is not measured at when he is sitting on cushion or in comfort, but when he meets the challenges and conspiracies. Honorable Speaker, today in this historic event, Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe has the command of the maximum support of this house. So it is fervent, it is confirmed, as it is so, and with the consolidation of his majority power here, we feel tomorrow would be a new path opened for the common man to come out of his misery for the development, for his own benefits, and it would be a path towards the eradication of poverty and the disparity between haves and haves not, and it would be a period of rescue for the poor people and from the unborn to the senior citizens, and their benefits would be assured without making the affluent further rich, instead to make the poor people rich.
It is a momentous occasion in our democratic political history. It is a day when democracy triumphs over tyranny. A day when dictatorship will be defeated and overcome by democracy. It is a day where freedom and liberty will conquer despotism, nepotism, and autocracy. Mr. Speaker, it will also be a day that commences the dawn of a new beginning, where the needs and aspirations of the poor and the downtrodden will be prioritized over the rich, where the silent majority will be politically, socially, economically empowered. This new beginning will create seamless prosperity for the Sri Lankans of all walks of life. And to achieve this objective, we are all willing to sacrifice our lives. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sajith Premadasa. Ilangata Garu.
Next speaker, Honorable Mangal Samarveera. Honorable Speaker, thank you. Honorable Sajit Premadasa brought in this motion of faith. I would take this opportunity to second the motion. Honorable Speaker, since 1948, since our independence, our country has confronted with so many political chaotic calamities, during which period two head of states have been assassinated. And while I was a little kid in 1962, the army coup, 1972 and 1989, there were two youth insurrections. Since 1989, for 26 long years, a massive destructive war was prolonged in our country. Although the country has felt such worse situations, I feel the past period since 26th of October, that should be named the Black Friday of the history of our country. Since that day up to today, the chain of activities that we experience were unbelievable. And one person tried to make a mess up. The president, in a flash, remove the legitimate Prime Minister and the Cabinet of Ministers on that day. Today we are reaping the harvest. We are reaping the whirlwind. During this period, the country has suffered a lot. You, Honorable Sir, launched a mighty fight back all alone and all by yourself to safeguard the democracy and the spirit of this legislation. During this period, the splitting of parties were tried and bribes were offered. Portfolios were offered. Yourself and Honorable Sajit Premadasa were offered with premiership and millions of billions rupees were shown on us as bribes. They try to fish us. But we became so powerful behind Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe, unshakenly, we could still say our president, because we battled for his victory, and I could well said, because I won Mathur electorate for him, I alone. In a party convention, addressing that meeting, the president has stated that it is not a big thing to run a country without the government. He came up with a country like Germany. He said for a number of months, German Germany didn't have a government. It's an utter false, Honorable Speaker. There was a general election in Germany. After that, no party secured majority. For several months, they had talks for coalitions and to have alliances, during which period there was a government, legitimate government. In March 2017, up to the new government sworn in, Angela Merkel has been the chancellor of that country. In Sweden today, after the general election, no a stable government's form, yet the previous prime minister and the cabinet of ministers are still running the government. Our president may not know that Germany and there are countries where that country, the state cannot exist without a ruler. If any case, if a no confidence motion is brought in the parliament, if they come up with a no faith motion, they call it selective no confidence motion, that motion should carry the name of the probable next premier. That means that there can't be a country without a ruler, even for a day. Honorable Sir, for 6 long weeks, the nation is suffering without a government. The symptoms are very much appearing. We know the legitimate Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe was thrown away and under the rule of the jungle, a quasi Prime Minister was appointed and it has been halted by the Supreme Court. Honorable Speaker, this illegitimate government, we know the same government was defeated and so became Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe as the Prime Minister and Maithripala Sirisena as the President in 8th of January 2015. During that election campaign, we campaigned for Maithri for the presidency and Ranil for the premiership. For that campaign, the people gave their mandate. And soon after the 8th of January, we came here first for the first session. UNP had 48 members. And Honorable Speaker was Honorable Chaman Rajapaksa at that time. Yet, though we had 48, we were able to pass all the bills with almost two-third majority, and Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe's government was shown the confidence of this house. For instance, 7th of February 2015, Honorable Ravi Karunanayake brought in the mini budget even within less than 1 month period, provided so many assistance, relief for the people. It was the first budget of Ranil Wickremesinghe's government. It was passed with 164, more than two-thirds more than 14 votes for that two-third threshold. By April 2015, we brought in the 19th Amendment of the Constitution, in which it was passed with 215 votes. Not only that, Honorable Speaker, majority of the members of the other side took over the portfolios of the Ranil Wickremesinghe's cabinet. That was the stable, strong government we had during that period. By April this year, we could well remember the no confidence motion was brought in against Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe. It is so good because it's a legitimate right for the members to enjoy democracy. It was brought in here. However, that no confidence motion, only 76 voted in favor, and against and for the Ranil Wickremesinghe, 122 votes were cast, and we defeated that no confidence motion. So this is how, Honorable Speaker, since January 2015 up to the 2018, that Black Friday, Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe was able to keep a stable government in a very stable and very strong manner. In January 2015, the 8th of January 2015, the Rajapaksa tyranny was toppled. Not only that, even his thuggery, his power of money was defeated.
And the journey we initiated amidst various challenges, we were able to bring many victories to the country and take the journey forward. And I don't want to elaborate on that, but I would like to say that from January 2015 to October 2018, in order to further strengthen the democracy and to create ethnic harmony, the communal harmony, as well as to safeguard the human rights and to restore democracy, we have brought in various measures, and I saw that His Excellency the President that stated that we had distanced ourselves from the policies of good governance. It's not us who distanced themselves from those policies. It was someone else. Especially for the people in North and for the communal harmony of this country and to prevent an international inquiry, I would like to point out the measures that we've taken have been included in this document, and I would like to table that document. And this is what we have done within the last 3.5 years. Every big and small measure we took is included in this document. And furthermore, Sri Lanka had been sidelined in the international arena. And due to the policies of the United National Front, especially due to the foreign policy, followed by under the guidance of Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe, we were able to regain the GSP Plus tax concession. Some were unaware of the attempts we took, but Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe and myself was aware, and due to the personal intervention of the Honorable Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe, we were able to lift the ban imposed on fisheries products. And I can recall that when we went to the G7 summit, there was an invitation for the president. And I feel proud about attending that event till my death, because His Excellency the President had gone there very early, and the seven top leaders of the world, they walked towards the President Sirisena, and they handshaked with the President, and then they were seated. But they handshaked with not with the President Sirisena. Those leaders include Barack Obama, Angela Merkel, and Justin Trudeau. They shook hands with the President, because Barack Obama called Sri Lanka as the good news country. He defined the country as a country the democracy has been restored, and that is why we were able to gain so many victories. We were ranked 5th on media suppression, but we were able to create media freedom. And the world accepted this fact. And in 2013, in brief, I would like to say about the country we undertook. It was $1,132 the per capita income, and the foreign loan installments we had to pay $1,163 billion, and there was a deficit of 3.3% in the, and due to this deficit and due to the decline in the foreign investments, the economy had faced setbacks. After 2015, we were able to rectify those situations, and Honorable Malik Samarakrama is aware that the year 2017 is the year that recorded the highest number of exports. And furthermore, the Sri Lanka had become the lowest state income country in 2013, but we were able to increase that. By 10th of January 2019, we have to pay a Rajapaksa regime loan on 10th of January 2019. To pay this loan, the approval of the parliament is required, and to obtain the approval of the parliament, there should be a legitimate government, legitimate prime minister, and a legitimate cabinet. If not, the situations that are experienced by countries such as Turkey, Argentina, will be experienced here as well. This is repeated by myself on various occasions. And Ajit Kumar Kapral had told the other newspaper he had stated that the economy will suffer if the political crisis prevails, and this is the real deal. But this group, they are misleading the public, and very recently they said that tax concessions will be given to farmers. Honorable Speaker, the farmers, only 0.3% farmers receive income, and this tax concession is being given to the brother of His Excellency the President, Mr. Dudley. While we are moving ahead, amidst this crisis, number of other issues have also surfaced, and as I said earlier, due to not having a legitimate government, we would have to find out a way to settle $1,000 billion by 10th of January 2019. And by 31st of December, after 31st of December, to pay the salaries, the pensions, and the samurdhi allowances, there is no mechanism for that. The authority, power of finance is vested within the parliament. But the president has not appointed a government that is not that is recognized by the parliament until now, and has not appointed a prime minister that has been recognized by the parliament. So therefore, the prime minister that can be recognized by the parliament should be appointed, and this has been shown to the entire world who is the best candidate, and after that a new cabinet can be appointed, and before the Christmas we should move a vote on account at least for the first three months of next year. We can present a budget within the next 3 months of next year. So I urge the president, without further worsening this crisis, prime minister Ranil Wickremesinghe, who shows the majority in numbers, I urge you to appoint honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe to be appointed as the prime minister by this evening, because under the prevailing circumstances, and with the prevailing economic setbacks, only Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe will be able to counter those challenges, overcome those challenges. And if we do not rectify those challenges, we would suffer. So therefore, I would urge all to rectify those errors. And I would like to say that all parliamentarians should vote in favor of the Ranil Wickremesinghe, Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe. Thank you very much, Honorable Mangu Samarira.
மிக்க நன்றி சபாநாயகர் அவர்களே.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
A time at this Tamil House to submit a small statement at this nature. Honorable Speaker, the Ilangai Tamil Arasu Katchi,
Ilangai Tamil Arasu
on behalf of Tamil National Alliance, I do so in my capacity as President of the ITAK and Member of Parliament of the ITAK. I table the letter dated 29th November 2018, signed and sent by 14 members of Parliament of the Ilangai Tamil Arasu Katchi to His Excellency Maithripala Sirisena, the President of the Democratic Social Republic of Sri Lanka. I request that the said letter be included in the Hansard at the end of my submission. The said letter explain the stand of the Ilangai Tamil Arasu Katchi ITAK in three languages. We wish to very clearly state that we will not function as part of the government and that we will continue to sit and function in the opposition while we stand by the position stated by us in the said letter. It is this letter, Honourable Speaker, in Tamil, Sinhala and English. Please be instructed the authority, the client side department, to be included in these three letters also. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Mahal Senatiraja. Ilangata Garu.
Next, Honourable Anukuma Disanayaka. Honourable Speaker, today a motion has been moved which expresses a vote of confidence on appointing Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe as the Prime Minister. On 4th of last April, a no-confidence motion was moved in the House, and during the debate regarding the NCM, while expressing support to Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe, and we explained the errors he has made, and we had voted in favor of that motion. Honorable Speaker, the thing we have to say with regard to the vote of confidence is the same with the facts that we have mentioned on 5th of April, last April. Why is that, Honorable Speaker? We had pointed out that the future of a government depends on number of MPs in the House. The Prime Minister as the Prime Minister and the government as the government are identified with the trust they gain from the people. However, over the last 300 years, when there were various votings with regard to the government, that is during the budget and the NCM, the government had shown its stability through the number of MPs in the House. Although they show the support of number of MPs in this House, the people has lost the trust, the confidence about the government. Why is that? This government initiated its journey on 8th of January 2015, and the people gave a mandate hoping for a better future. on early instances when governments were formed, it represented the policies of the various political parties. The majority of the government, early governments, it represented the policies of the party, but the mandate received on 8th of January had a special feature. That mandate was received not for one political party. Its composition represented various aspirations of the public with regard to economic development, democracy, acting against fraud and corruption, and preventing fraud and corruption, and preventing the murders, and punishing those who are responsible for those murders, and the mandate on 8th of January was received with regard to these aspirations. However, the common aspirations of the general public, they were suppressed by certain political parties, and only the aspirations of the political parties, certain political party was met. And Honorable Mangal Samarira tabled a document about the measures they have taken during the last 3.5 years. Although I didn't read it, I know what it includes. I believe you have not mentioned the facts that you should have mentioned. I believe he won't mention those facts in that document. So the matters that have not been mentioned, I believe you should have focused your attention on the matters you have not done, you have not mentioned. I believe the responsibility lies with certain persons and with the entire government, and that responsibility lies with Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe. As a government will have to implement various progressive measures, and they also have responsibility to not to implement negative measures. Didn't you do those things as well? Yes, you did. Honorable Speaker, when a conspiracy was hatched on 26th of October, I believe we should identify the social background which led to that conspiracy. We saw actions of His Excellency the President and the expectation of Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa of regaining power, but this matter should not be confined to those two individuals. We know that Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa was one of the stakeholders of this conspiracy, but although these two individuals are seen on the surface, we should also identify reasons for this situation. There has been a view against the two main actors of this conspiracy, and even we have supported the creating that opinion, but to engage in such act, who created the background? To we should identify that, understand that this looting of the government took place due to various reasons, but I believe that this conspiracy should not take place due to any reason. How did this situation was created? It is not an ordinary background. Although the leading actors of this conspiracy are those two individuals, the background was created from the government, which distanced itself from the public. This government had a mentality which distanced themselves from the public, the aspirations of the public. However, a social recognition was given to this conspiracy. And why did this situation occur? Over the last 3.5 years, no measure or process was followed to prevent such looting of government, and the main person responsible for this situation is then Prime Minister Honorable Ranveer Wickremesinghe. Therefore, Honorable Speaker, how can we decide that this position should be given back to Honorable Ranveer Wickremesinghe? So what is the approach of the JVP? We have a criticism about the incident took place on 26th of October by unseating Honorable Ranveer Wickremesinghe and seating Mahinda Rajapaksa, or by unseating Mahinda Rajapaksa and seating Ranveer Wickremesinghe. We have no argument about it. Ignoring the fact, the person who is seated on that position, we do not have any personal issue. It is not relevant for us. Our issue was they had engaged in a political conspiracy that ignored the constitution, democracy, and various other factors. We level a criticism against the conspiracy hatched on 26th of October because we do not care who is the person seated on that position, because we know what they do in those while holding those positions and when not holding those positions. What is relevant for us is that looting power, and if it becomes an example for the future, then it would be a very destructive end, such political journeys. And we believe that such examples should be defeated on its inceptions. And if we are unable to defeat such inceptions, then those conspiracies will recurrence again. and all the other instances, incidents, adjourning of the parliament and proroguing of the parliament and dissolvement of parliament and forcefully appointing the prime minister, forcefully appointing a cabinet, and the these are totally unjustifiable process. After the attempts made on 26th of October failed, the president, the powers that are vested with the president, and the president says that such powers are vested with him. We have voiced our protest against those measures. And in the parliament, when an NCM was moved against Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa, we supported it, considering it as a role of the parliament. The protest in the on the streets and creating an opinion within the public. We have engaged in those activities considering our role in this process, Honorable Speaker. As a political movement, we have a stance with regard to any instance, any incident. We do not care who are supporting, who are against it. And if we take that stance on betterment of the public, we do not change our stance considering the individual. We are committed to take that stance forward, honoring the democracy. So such measures have been defeated. So if a new government is being formed, then there should be a new prime minister, and we do not care who is that new prime minister, and it is not relevant for us, because despite the person who is being appointed as the next prime minister, they cannot change the economic policies or the directions of the economy. They have engaged in the politics as a business, and they are only interested in earning money. And despite Honorable Mahinda Rajapaksa or Ranil Wickremesinghe being seated in that position, they will have only petty interests.
Therefore, Honorable Speaker, there will be not going to be such a change in the political culture, and not only that, Honorable Speaker, they will also not be able to introduce a new economic policy to the country. Similarly, the economy of the rural people, instead of a Colombo-centered economic policy, there should be an economic policy that would improve the living conditions of the rural people, but we know that they will not be able to do so. Therefore, Honorable Speaker, who sits in the Prime Minister chair is not important to us. They can reach various agreements, and there will also be changes in political parties. Then some people, Honorable Speaker, some people might try to support us, but we are not going to change our policies. We have a definite political policy, and we only wanted to defeat this political conspiracy, and for that purpose, we have taken all possible measures in this parliament as well as in the judiciary, and we have given all possible support to change this political conspiracy. But we are not concerned as who is going to sit in the Prime Minister's chair. It is not. It is totally irrelevant to us. therefore, who sits in this Prime Minister's chair, there won't be any changes in the policies of our country. And we also don't believe that even if Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe sits in the Prime Minister's chair, there would not be any change for the betterment of the people. We are well aware of that fact, Honorable Speaker. Therefore, I would have said that this motion is totally relevant to us, and with that, I wind up my speech. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Anukumar Dissanayake. Next, Honorable Ravi Karunanayake. And therefore, I also wish to request Honorable members to have their discussions outside the Parliament, not in the chambers. Honorable Ravi Karunanayake. Thank you. I wish to make a few comments about this confidence motion on the Prime Minister, and I would like to thank you for giving me this opportunity. And first of all, I wish to mention that the Constitution has been violated, and at a time the Constitution has been violated, we are only seeking justice. That is why we have gone around the country and we have told the people that Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe should be the Prime Minister of this country. On 26th October, the constitution of this country was violated, and it was a black mark on the country, and we want to change the situation. That is why we have moved this motion. We know that when we are engaged in politics, we all commit mistakes. Therefore, we have to acknowledge our mistakes, and we have to find a solution to these problems. And we know that this country has been dragged towards disaster and destruction. At this, Honorable Speaker, at this point of time, at this critical moment, you have taken a number of right decisions. And today, the entire world is watching Sri Lanka because there is a crisis with regard to democracy in the country. And as a result of action taken by you, we have been able to restore the dignity of the country. Honorable Speaker, all political parties of the International Front have agreed to work together. And as a result, we derived strength from their support, and we also received support from the Tamil National Alliance and the Janata Mukti Peramun, and we are never going to forget it. And now we have to think as to how we are going to move forward, and we can't solve this problem by blaming other parties. The innocent people of this country would suffer as a result. Then there is a state of anarchy in the country. We know that there is a constitutional crisis in the country now. 49 days have lapsed since this crisis began. Today, the public sector employees are waiting as to how they can take action. There are two or three serious problems that have arisen as a result of this situation. And I believe that we should forge unity in the country. People have given us a mandate, and we have given people have given us a mandate for a 5-year period. But an illegal government has been appointed, an illegitimate government has been appointed, and they are unable to show the majority in parliament. And now they say that there should be an election in the country. Now who say? Yes, we know that all political parties are ready to go for an election. But we know that when there is the ordinary level examination, we are getting ready for that. When for the GC advanced level examination, we are getting ready for that. We have 2 years period to get ready for the advanced level examination. So we can't suddenly hold an examination. And similarly, we can't hold instant elections. But they must understand that we have been given a mandate by the people for a 5-year period. So just because they are unable to show the majority, now they are demanding an election. And similarly, the Sri Lanka Freedom Party, they were with us, they were in the government. And now they have joined the POTU, and now they are demanding an election. And only those who are supporting the POTU or the flower, but only they are demanding an election. So we have to look into this matter very carefully. Now, Honorable Chil Piris is the chairman of the Sri Lanka Podujana Peramuna. And when the 19th Amendment was moved, he made a very good speech, and he stated that the 19th Amendment would be able to drive away political instability in the country. So he stated that in Parliament as well, but now he has changed his stance. Now we have to bring all this to an end, and we have to restore stability in the country. I believe that His Excellency the President and the Honorable Prime Minister and the Honorable Speaker, they would work together and they would find a solution to this problem. Because we have 1.5 years more for the general election, for the presidential election, there are 13 months. Now we know that the provincial councils and the Pradesh Sabhas, they have started wasting money. We also acknowledge what was said by the Janata Vimukti Peramuna. So therefore, Honorable Speaker, we know that we are going to form a new government, and Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe would be appointed as the Prime Minister, and we are ready to acknowledge the challenge before us. And today, as I said, the entire country is in a state of anarchy as a result of this illegitimate government. And Honorable Speaker, now the public sector employees are in a dilemma. Honorable Speaker, about 5 years ago, when the poor rule in the country, they obtained $1,000 million loan from the National Savings Bank, and in the year 2000, this loan was obtained in the year 2012, and finally we had to pay back this loan. That loan was obtained in dollars, and we had to pay back in rupees, and as a result, we suffered a loss of more than 12 million rupees. And finally, the depositors or the central bank or the people, they have to bear the burden of this. Now, once again, they are trying to create a similar situation in the country. Now, there is no finance minister in the country, and the court has also stated that there is no prime minister in the country. On 25th September, by 25th September, the reserves was, we had reserves of nearly $10 million, and subsequently it came down to $8.4 million, but today at this moment, it has come down to $6.9 million. The governor and there are two deputy governors of the central bank, then the secretary of the central bank, they have obtained a term financing facility of $750 million without the approval of the cabinet, without the approval of the parliament. And they have appointed a temporary chairman to the NSB, and now they are trying to obtain a loan of $750 million. And after my speech, I would like to make a request from His Excellency the President Maithripala Sirisena, and I also wish to make a request from the Speaker that all public sector officials who have been engaged in this transaction should be summoned before Parliament, and they should be asked as to how they carried out this transaction when there is no government and when there is no cabinet. We know that innocent people of this country have deposited their money in the National Savings Bank. Now, as a result of this transaction, the National Savings Bank would be destroyed. So, Honorable Speaker, we would like to know whether the central bank has given permission to this transaction, and we also like to know as to who from the finance ministry gave permission to this transaction. We know that rupee is fast depreciating, and during the past 1.5 months, it has depreciated by 14 rupees. So who is going to pay for this? Is it going to be paid by central bank or the innocent people of this country? We have to look into this matter, Honorable Speaker. Now, earlier we had the foreign resource amount of $6.9 million. So now they are trying to artificially show up the central bank reserves. So in the eventually the people of this country have to pay for this. Therefore, Honorable Speaker, measures should be taken immediately to stop this transaction. And similarly, now in the state of anarchy, the government is behaving in a strange manner. When the rupee was depreciating during our period, they stated that the economy was on the decline. But now when this new government was appointed, the value of rupee against US dollar was 169 rupees, but now it has gone up to 183 rupees. And they are also talking about Sri Lanka Free Trade Agreement with Singapore, and they said that it should be immediately abolished. And now Honorable Bansabodhan says that they cannot change the Sri Lanka Free Trade Agreement with Singapore. Then similarly, former Minister Honorable Andre Yapa recently stated that by 31st December, after 31st December, the government would be able to obtain money to meet various expenditures. So this government is continuing the violation of the constitution, and we have to stop this, because on 1st January 2019 they won't be able to spend even a cent without the approval of parliament. If a vote on account is not approved by the majority of this parliament, then the government would not be able to spend even a rupee. So this government would be held accountable for that. Now we know in the plantation sector, huge losses are being made as a result of the ongoing action. Now when the government was in the position, they said that the salaries of public plantation workers would be increased to 1,000 rupees. Now we know that we can find a solution to the crisis in the plantation sector. So, Honorable Speaker, as a result of these activities, there would be the entire country would be become bankrupt. And once again, I wish to state that other than the poor tour, the entire country has acknowledged that Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe is the Prime Minister of the country, and we have the confidence that Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe commands the support of the majority of members of parliament, and requesting all members of parliament to vote for this motion. We ruled this country for a period of three and a half years, and in the future we should ensure that these mistakes are not committed. And with that, I end my speech. Thank you. Next honorable Kayantha Karunathilaka. Honorable Speaker, this political crisis was created on 26th October. So it was due to this political crisis that Honorable Sahid Premdas, the deputy leader of our party, had moved this motion. Honorable Speaker, anyway, I am happy. I am Honorable Speaker, I am very happy to state that there are members of parliament who have not sold their soul for money. So I am very happy to make this speech in this parliament today. Honorable Speaker, we know that members of parliament have been offered various perks and privileges, and some members have even been threatened to join the government. But I am happy to say that our members of parliament have not been persuaded by these perks and privileges, and they have worked according to their conscience. And I will also wish to state that Honorable Karu Jayasuri, the Honorable Speaker, has not been moved by these threats. So he has been able to protect the dignity of this parliament. And I also wish to pay my tribute to all members of parliament who have not been swayed by these perks and privileges. Honorable Speaker, today there is an unprecedented situation in the country, especially in the parliament. There had been an unprecedented situation after October 26th. And especially I would like to pay my tribute to the staff of parliament, despite various threats. And we know that And I also wish to pay my tribute to the police for taking action to protect democracy in the country despite various attacks. Honorable Speaker, today the reason for this motion is to report our confidence on the Honorable Prime Minister. I'm not going to talk about the past events or the future events. And Honorable Speaker, from October 26th, in the face of this crisis, we really should appreciate the conduct of Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe, and I believe that his conduct during this short period is the very reason for this confidence motion. And in the face of this crisis, Honorable Prime Minister showed that he is a civilized politician, and he is a politician who is... He is a professional politician. He also showed to the world that he is the true professional politician in this country. Honorable Speaker, the agenda of a professional politician is based on political vision. So we know that due to minor incidents, such political stance would not be changed. Such political agendas would not be changed due to minor incidents. Honorable Speaker, today we have moved this motion of confidence to a leader who has a program to develop this country, and it is a vision that is rich, that has been enriched with sound policies. During the past 1.5 months, Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe has been able to show to the entire country that he is a real politician with professional he's a professional politician with real qualities. So, Honorable Speaker, we know that we members of political parties responded in various ways to this crisis, but Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe behaved in a very matured manner. He responded to this crisis in a very matured manner, and we know that there's a saying which says that deep water is still, and he has shown his qualities to the entire world, and he has shown to the world that he is a professional politician. Honorable Speaker, I don't intend to take up a long time for my speech. And once again, I wish to state that we have moved this motion to show our confidence on Honorable Prime Minister. And when we look at the incidents that have taken place in this Parliament, we are not at all happy with these incidents that took place recently in the Parliament. And when Honorable Speaker, this matured political leader whom we want to be appointed as the Prime Minister, we know that even though when patients are excited, we know that doctors don't get excited, and similarly Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe did not get excited about this situation. And once again we are going to prove that he commands the support of the majority of members of Parliament. And I also would like to state that he is the most mature politician in this country who can take the country out of this crisis. This motion was moved by the deputy leader of our party. Today only a few members would speak in this parliament in this motion, regarding this motion. And Honorable Speaker, and I also wish to appeal to you that you also would continue the measures that you have taken to uphold democracy in the country. And I also wish to draw the attention of the Honorable President to this motion. And I also hope that the change that the entire country is waiting would take place soon. And with that, I wind up my speech. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Gayantha Karunathilaka. The speech, now we have to take a division. Now we have to take a vote. Now we are going to have electronic voting for this motion. Honourable members, please be seated. Now it's a time for casting vote, and if you have any inconvenience, the staff of Parliament will help you. Voting has been concluded.
Order, please.
For the motion, 117 votes. Accordingly, the motion is carried. Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe. Honorable Speaker, I wish to express my thanks and gratitude to all members who helped to pass this motion. I see this motion as an important step that was taken to defeat the conspiracy that took place on October 26th. And if I am to repeat the words of my good friend Honorable Rukmat Sanayake, this was a conspiracy, and I don't think that there is any argument about that. And similarly, we have all been committed to protect Parliament. What is this system? And I believe the President of America, Abraham Lincoln, the former President of America, once stated that it is a system that is created by the people and is for the people. So it is a government created by the people. So people would elect the government, and subsequently a prime minister would be selected. This is not a government created by the president. That is the difference.
And it should be a government established by the people, and we have to respect that principle, and we are committed towards that. People have to select the government, and it is constitutional. And the constitution is the prime law of the country. We believe in the sovereignty of law. So, if we believe in that, the constitution, which is our prime law, should be followed accordingly. And whatever the political views we may possess, there were supporters to Mahinda Rajapaksha and the Pohottua, but all those have the same view that we have to be constitutional, and it is really bad to go against it. So we are struggling towards this, and that is why we, most of us, have gone to the Supreme Court, and also in this house around 122 members are always here to preserve this. And as the speaker, you gave a very good leadership, and we really appreciate it. And if not for your commitment, these things wouldn't have happened this way. And when we came to power in 2015, democracy was very weak by then, and we took special measures towards the 19th Amendment of the Constitution, and we increased powers vested with Parliament, and we restricted the powers vested with the Executive Presidency, and then we established independent commissions, and then some questioned whether these commissions are of any use. Actually, you also endeavored to establish those, and now we all work to respect these laws of the country. And because of this framework which we have created, today people are capable of especially taking measures and coming forward. They are able to come forward towards the establishment of democracy in the country. Earlier, they were in fear, but now the situation has changed. And as a government, we may have our weaknesses. There are things that could be done by us, and some things we fail to do certain things, and the two major parties go together, and with the united journey of these two parties, our journey was not a very swift and fast one, and the journey was slow. But however, we want, the country was facing an indebted burden when we came to power. We have to admit that, and say we had to face droughts, we had to face floods, and we had to face these kind of severe circumstances, and the people also suffered. So because of these instances, and also amidst all these obstacles, we were able to uplift, and we were able to allocate more on housing, education, and other important things. I don't think that these kind of allocations had been made in our history for housing, health, and education. So we are really proud of those things that we were able to commit. And we were at the verge of benefiting the people with our new development schemes. and we launched programs like Gam Perilia, and we received foreign investment, and we were about to start or create more employment opportunities. But we were having a lot of plans to do all these things. But now the situation has changed and the economy is drastically declining. And we have the strength. We had the strength. They promised about reduction of prices of commodities. And if we say something, we would do it. If we say something, we stick to it. So I would like to state that we will take measures to provide people with relief step by step, and we will have to face this economic collapse as well, and in future we would really engage in more development activities. And our members faced many issues and many influences, and amidst all these they came forward and they worked a lot to protect democracy in the country. I have to pay gratitude to all the members. Honorable Mave Senadhiraja made a statement and I listened to it. We know about the suffering faced by the people of the north. And from our development programs, we will give them solutions. We will provide solutions to their legal issues. And also, I would like to emphasize one thing. We take steps to amend or create a new constitution, and then we will be able to create an indivisible Sri Lanka where Sinhalese, Muslims and Tamils will have a political solution which they would unanimously agree. And we have many steps in our program. We will take measures to strengthen provincial councils, and we will abolish executive presidency. In our country, we never worked as Sinhalese, neither as Muslims, nor as Tamils. We worked as Sri Lankans in the country to protect democratic rights and the sovereignty of the people. Therefore, we have a duty and a responsibility here to conduct discussions or negotiations with the Tamil nationals, and also to come up with the political solution according to the constitution where all the ethnic groups will unanimously agree. And also, at this moment, I would like to extend my gratitude to you once again, and with that I conclude. Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Ranil Wickremesinghe. Now it's the adjournment of the House. As it was agreed, House adjourns till 18th Tuesday of December.